A young woman, a burnt out caravan, and a disappearance that still doesn't add up more than two decades on. This week, Gardaí have renewed their appeal for information into the killing of Eimear O'Loughlin, a case that continues to haunt the family in the small Clare community of Ennistymon. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. The setting is April 2005. A 23-year-old woman living quietly in rural Clare on the outskirts of the Burn in a mobile home with her partner. That morning, he heads off to work. Eimear, it's believed, heads next door to charge her phone in a neighbour's caravan. That neighbour is a man known locally as John Fozzie Griffin. By that afternoon, the same caravan is burned out. And inside, human remains are found. The next day, they're identified as Eimear. For years, it sat in that grey area of questions as to what happened to her. And then in 2010, her body was exhumed. Forensic tests pointed to a violent death, and the case was upgraded to murder. Yet no one has ever been brought to justice. At an inquest last year, the jury returned a verdict of unlawful killing. And running through all of this has been a central figure, Griffin. He was interviewed at the time, he denied any involvement, and then disappeared. His last confirmed sighting is on Inishmore. There were clothes found at the edge of a cliff, but no body was ever recovered. Gardaí still believe he's alive, and the family do too. And now, 21 years on, there's a fresh appeal. Gardaí are asking people to come forward, even if they've spoken before. I'm joined now by Porrick McMahon, who's the head of news and sport with the Clare Echo and who's been covering this story for decades. Porrick, you're very welcome to News Talk Daily.
Thanks, Ciara.
We might just start, I suppose, with Eimear herself. Who was Eimear O'Loughlin and what do we know about her life at that time?
Yeah, so Eimear was, she was a talented artist. She was 23 at the time and she was studying in college. She was from Ennistymon, but she was living in Tubber, a nice picturesque part of North Clare, situated within the Burn. And Eimear loved the Burn and she loved North Clare. It inspired her art and inspired her work. She was a nature lover. She loved dogs. She loved topography. And as I say, she loved North Clare and its surrounding. She was loved by her family and friends, and they described her as an ordinary Irish girl with an arty streak. And she'd been living with her partner, Shane Bowe, in a mobile home caravan in Tubber. And, you know, everything changed utterly for Eimear and her family on the 8th of April when, you know, she simply went to try get a charger for her phone and unfortunately, he never came back, and her death has left so many questions, a lot of which have been unanswered. It's taken time for the O'Loughlin family to get answers. They're still looking for justice. Their campaign continues. But Eimear, you know, fondly remembered by those who loved her, didn't really have a bad bone in her body, and you know, just met such a cruel and untimely death back in 2005.
As you say, there are still so many unanswered questions as to what exactly happened on that day, on April 8th, 2005. But what is the established timeline, though, from that morning to the discovery of her remains? And what is it that Gardaí suspected happened?
So it was the morning of the funeral of Pope John Paul II. So Eimear didn't have to go to college. There was no college that day. And her partner, Shane, was leaving for work. Eimear was having trouble within Tubber. There was trouble with power and supply to their mobile home. So their external cable was plugged into a pole beside a caravan belonging to John Fozzie Griffin. And the cable then ran across the field to their home. So they had been having intermittent supply to their caravan and mobile home that day, and Eimear's phone was running low on battery. And before Shane left, they both decided that Eimear should ask, you know, John Griffin to charge her phone when Shane was leaving for work. So her last known movements were to travel to a caravan owned by John Fozzie Griffin to charge her phone. That's the timeline of events then that would have happened, that led to, Shane, her partner, had spent a day at work with other people, and he was witnessed at work, and he would have came under a lot of focus from Gardaí at the time, whereas the O'Loughlin family would have preferred a bit more of a focus to be put on John Fozzie Griffin at the start. So that was it. It all kind of an unfortunate series of events that led to what happened.
And what happened when Shane arrived home to the mobile home that he shared with Emer?
Well, there was the family of the O'Loughlin family were initially told there was a fire in Tubber and that Emer was missing and that a body had been found. And it obviously took time to determine for the body to be confirmed that of Emer. They were suspicious it was at the time. Like, Emer had family members and siblings living in London. And one of her brothers travelled over to her sister Pam, who was living in England, to, you know, obviously the communication in 2005 isn't as instant as it is now. And, you know, that's not the type of news you want to maybe be relaying over the phone. So journeys were made in that instance to relay the news in such a fashion. But like the scene of a fire and, you know, a caravan being burnt out, and then later confirming that the body was belonging to Emer's, then led to the start of the Garda investigation.
Now, John Fozzie Griffin remains central to all of this. What do we know about him, and what happened in the immediate aftermath of Emer's death?
Mm-hmm. So John Fozzie Griffin was in the frame from the start, really, because Emer's body was found in his home. And Gardaí had made it clear to the O'Loughlin family at the time that he was in the picture as a suspect. But as everything was beginning to go forward, things weren't really adding up. And as the family would say, things went very wrong. Like, John Fozzie Griffin was never formally questioned and wasn't brought under caution to be questioned. From what we can gather, he was asked a few questions at the door of a relative's house, and he was given an alibi. But that alibi later emerged to be false, and the O'Loughlin family would have always felt that the Gardaí were very cautious in their approach to John Fozzie Griffin, whereas, as I mentioned earlier, Emer's partner Shane had spent a day at work. He had been with other people, and he was witnessed at work and was questioned repeatedly. And Emer's father, Johnny, would have said at the time one of his constant memories was just seeing images of Shane being put into the back of a squad car and brought in for questioning, whereas they don't feel the same level of scrutiny was applied to John Fozzie Griffin. And he was admitted to a psychiatric facility in Ballinasloe following an incident a few days after Emer's death, and he'd subsequently check himself out of the facility, and in like the bizarre scene that he managed to apparently attempt to fake his own death on the Aran Islands back in 2005 and has been missing ever since. So it was really a series of a bizarre events that have allowed John Fozzie Griffin, now the prime suspect in the case, to disappear and vanish off the face of the earth.
Tell us about that disappearance, because it is quite extraordinary. There is a confirmed sighting of him on Inishmore Island a couple of days after Emer's death. As you say, he was then admitted to a psychiatric facility, but was seen again back on that island. There were clothes left at a cliff edge. How did Gardaí interpret all of that?
Well, his last confirmed sighting was on Inishmore on Éilean Aran, and his clothes, as you say, they were found on the cliff edge. But despite intensive searches, you know, he's never been located, and has never, still, even though he hasn't been found, he's never been reported as a missing person. And Gardaí are always of the belief that Mr. Griffin is still alive, and while they're anxious to trace him, they're of the belief that he has been assisted in leaving Inishmore by another person, and that the clothes were just deliberately placed on the cliff edge as an effort to frustrate the Garda investigation.
Let us talk about what happened in 2010. What led to Emer's body being exhumed, and what were the findings of the investigations that were carried out after that point?
So the exhuming in 2010 happened purely because of the motivation of the O'Loughlin family for Emer's death to be defined as a murder, which is what subsequently happened. You know, so her body had to be exhumed, and You know, while that can be a traumatic time, it provided some answers. While there's still a lot more that have to be provided for the O'Loughlin family, it was confirmation that she had been murdered and, you know, that a murder investigation could then commence.
And the forensic tests did suggest that she had died quite a violent death.
Yeah, the test did indicate that she died a violent death, and as a result, the investigation was upgraded to that of murder. Her remains were taken to University Hospital Galway, where forensic anthropology tests were conducted, and that, you know, I suppose moved the investigation in another way. The post-mortem examination was carried out by the then deputy state pathologist, Dr. Michael Curtis, at Galway University Hospital. And he would have been someone that was questioned and spoke at the inquest. Like, he had concluded initially that the cause of death was undetermined, but he said that Miss O'Loughlin's remains were extremely carbonized and destroyed, and that the distal upper limbs and lower limbs were absent while the skull had detached. He had also said that the extreme degree of heat destruction made large parts of the body unavailable for examination, and he said that, you know, in particular her neck and throat regions were absent, and it was impossible then to exclude strangulation or a cutthroat injury as a possible cause of death at the time.
Initially, what did they believe had happened, Emer?
There wasn't much in terms of definite information given at the time, and Gardaí were just, you know, treating it as a fire, more or less, and that's what happened, and that there was no real murder investigation, and that ties in with maybe what we're speaking about, and that the cautious approach was afforded to John Fossey Griffin because it wasn't a murder investigation at the time in 2005, which is potentially what could have allowed him to get out and to slip through the net. Like, as I say, when he was in psychiatric care, he was persuaded by Gardaí to do that. Like, he had history of violence and drug abuse, and he had barricaded himself inside Dunangus Fort, you know, prior to disappearing via the Aran Islands. And, you know, he, at the time again of disappearing, he had got rid of what was described his distinctive dreadlocks and beard before trying to fake his death.
I'm just looking here on the Interpol website. I wanted poster and a picture of John Griffin, location sought by Ireland to assist in the investigation. And it says he's believed to be in the United Kingdom, Germany, Spain, or the Netherlands. Tell me about the investigation to try and establish his whereabouts and whether or not there have been any confirmed reported sightings of John Griffin over the years.
There's been no confirmed sightings, but as you say, Interpol's notice has said he may have been living in the UK, in Germany, Spain or Holland. But the O'Loughlin family have received information that John Fossey Griffin has been sighted in Morocco. But there's been no ways or means of extraditing him from Morocco back to Ireland as the family tried to get some bit of closure with regards to the case. You know, John Fossey Griffin, I think, will be 59 this year. But there's been no, while the investigation and more information campaigns are being done within Ireland, there hasn't been significant or any major inroads made with regards to locating John Fossey Griffin.
It does say here also on that Interpol page that Griffin is known to have travelled from London to Germany in 2005, but his current location is not known. Despite all of this, investigators firmly believe that he is still alive, as do the family.
Yeah, no, that's the firm belief of the family. While he hasn't been, you know, officially located or anything, the O'Loughlin family have received tip-offs and word that he has been sighted in Morocco, but the level of effort and exuberance made to try locate him in Morocco and bring him back, as I say, doesn't appear to have garnered much momentum or progress with regards to the investigation.
I mean, there was an inquest last year, November of last year, and it returned a verdict of unlawful killing. How important was that for the O'Loughlin family and for this investigation?
Yeah, the O'Loughlin family in particular said they were absolutely delighted with the verdict of the inquest, because it was the first time that the state had acknowledged that Emer O'Loughlin was killed by someone else. And speaking in Kilrush last November, her older sister Pam said that until now they had had a suspicious death, and that this is the first time they've had it confirmed that Emer was killed by someone else, and that was their primary motivation, you know, for looking for the inquest. Now, the inquest hasn't affected the Gardaí investigation in any way, and it was primarily done just to for the O'Loughlin family and maybe a personal motivation for them to get the acknowledgement after 20 years that, you know, they didn't have a definitive cause of death. But again, last November, for the first time since 2005, they received confirmation that Emer was indeed killed by someone else.
Given the extremely violent nature of her death, and given the fact that nobody has ever been brought to justice for this, how difficult has this been for the O'Loughlin family?
No, it's been very difficult, and even, you know, Emer's partner at the time, Shane, is subsequently deceased. Her mother has since died, and, you know, they've gone on to their eternal reward without answers and without closure as to what exactly or who exactly was responsible for Emer's death, and that there's been no justice given as a result of that. And it's been something, there's been a campaign, obviously locally, the campaign for or the Justice for Emer O'Loughlin Facebook page has been in existence for some time. And coincidentally, around the time of the murder of Aisling Murphy, activity began to increase with regards to the Justice for Emer O'Loughlin Facebook page. But that was more to do with filming, concluding on a TG Carr documentary in January 22 called Maru in Her Mask, kind of a true crime series which profiled Emer's death and the investigation, and that I would credit with helping to reignite a lot of interest in the case. Like, on Garda Síochána issued a fresh appeal for witnesses this week on the 21st anniversary of Emer's death, and they did the same last year, whereas in previous years it hasn't been something that they've been doing. So that documentary has helped put it back in the spotlight, and similar, Ciara, no less to yourselves at News Talk, like it's putting a spotlight on it, and it's keeping it in people's consciousness and having them talking about it. And that in such cases makes a big difference to keeping people aware, and maybe then someone might come across something with regards to John Fossey Griffin or anything else relating to the case to maybe bring it on a further level.
And that brings us to where we are at today with this renewed appeal by the Gardaí. What kind of information are they hoping people might finally come forward with?
Well, it's if they can see, is there anyone that might bring closure or get justice for the O'Loughlin family? So they want to know, do people have any information that might assist with the investigation? That includes people that they may have spoken to previously, and like with the passage of time, there might be something more that they might feel better placed to assist with the investigation. There might have been something, if they spoke to Gardaí before, that they may have held back on. And over time, maybe now, whether it's courage or something, that there just is a feeling in them that they're now comfortable enough to share it or to just help the cause. Because any piece of information, no matter how big or small, in such an investigation could help the Gardaí with their efforts to bring closure and justice for Emer O'Loughlin.
Pádraic, thanks so much for joining me on News Talk Daily.
Thank you, Ciara.
And anyone with information can contact Gord Garda Station on 091 636 400. The Garda Confidential line is 1800 666 111. Or indeed, you can contact any Garda Station if you have information that you think might be relevant. Until tomorrow morning, goodbye.